Good evening. It's good to see everyone out this afternoon, this evening. It is indeed an honor and a pleasure to be able to stand before you this evening to just give you a small portion of thy divine word. I know from talking to Dennis that all he preaches is the truth. And if we want to go to heaven, that's what we need to preach, is the truth. Amen. The lesson this evening is going to come from Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. This is a familiar text, and members of the Church of Christ, we should be able to quote this text because I'm sure we hear it very often. I know they do it at Central Church of Christ, so I'm sure you hear this very often, but I'm going to read it. I can quote it, but I'm going to read it. Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Tonight, for a few moments, I want to focus on that word, baptized. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The title of the lesson is A Changed Preacher. A Changed Preacher. You know, I talk to folks all the time, and I hear folks saying, all baptisms are the same. We know from our study that the Bible teaches us in three different ways: command, example, and necessary inference. We have examples of why all baptisms are not the same. And that's what we want to look at this evening. Turn me to Acts chapter 18. While you're turning there, there was a man by the name of Apollos, and he was preaching. But the things that he was preaching were of John's baptism. So what Aquila and Priscilla did, they took him off the side, and they taught him more perfectly. So when we turn to Acts chapter 18, we're going to begin our reading at verse number 24. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. Acts chapter 18, beginning at verse number 24. The Bible says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scripture, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of the Lord more perfectly." Now here we have a man named Apollos. This man was an eloquent man. He was like E.F. Hutton. When he spoke, everybody listened. He was mighty in the scripture. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he was fervent in spirit. Meaning when he got up, he was really excited about what he was preaching about the Lord. And he spoke accurately the things of the Lord. But there was a problem. He only knew John's baptism. And when Apollos was preaching, John's baptism was not valid anymore. So what we want to look at, what were some of the problems with John's baptism? Well, first of all, it was a limited commission. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. Mark chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, "And preach, saying, There cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." John is letting us know that what he's preaching is temporary. It's temporary because there's someone that's coming after him that's mightier than he is. Another problem with John's baptism was it was only for the Jews. Turn me to Mark, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, and look at verses 5 and 6. These 12 sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of Samaria enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely ye have received, freely give. In other words, this was limited. It was only for the Jews. And not only that, John did not baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Not only that, John also did not give the Holy Spirit. He preached for the remission of sins. And John was never, let me say that again, John was never in the church because John died before the church was established. Turn to Matthew. While we're in Matthew, turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And we'll just look at Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse number 10. And it says, And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. So John was dead before the church was ever established. And you know, you hear people say all the time, especially those that's in the Baptist church, that John started the Baptist church. John was never in the church. John was never a Baptist. I don't know. Of course, that's teaching that you hear. You hear people saying that all the time. At least the people that I have talked to that's members of the Baptist church, they always say that John started the Baptist church. But nowhere in history can you find that. John's baptism served this purpose. And his purpose was for the Jews only. But when Jesus, in Matthew 16, 18, when Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. And when Jesus died and rose on the third day, John's baptism was not any good anymore. It's like the Old Testament. When Jesus died on the cross and rose, the Old Testament, the Bible tells that the Old Testament was nailed to the cross. Well, you still have folks now that still try to live by the Old Testament. And a lot of them try to justify living by the Old Testament because of what they teach or what they're doing in service. For an example, music and worship. They justify that by going back and say, well, David did it. Well, David was never in the church. David was under the old law. Christ nailed that to the cross when he rose on the third day. And not only that, John's baptism was for the Jews only. But Jesus, when Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus' church and his baptism is for all people. For all people. There's not a select group. We all have an opportunity to be baptized. Jesus' church was foretold in the Old Testament. Turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2. This is another familiar text. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 2 and 3. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. You know, sometimes when I'm preaching, folks say, well, you're going too fast. You didn't give me an opportunity to get there. Well, I'll slow down. Am I giving you an opportunity to get there? Amen. Amen. Am I giving you an opportunity? If not, let me know. I can slow down. We good? We good. Okay. Isaiah chapter 2. Listen to what verse 2 and 3 says. And it came to pass, and it shall come to pass in the last days, that the mount of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We know from Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the church was started on that mountain in Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
And not only that, Jesus said in Matthew 16:18 that he was going to build his church. Not many churches. He's going to build his church. And that church was established in Acts chapter 2. Turn back to Acts chapter 2 again. Acts chapter 2. And I want you to notice a few things that are in this text. But in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches the first gospel sermon. And we're going to look at verses 36 through 38, and then we're going to look at verse number 47. Verse number 36 says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" That's what most people don't do. They do not ask the question. They're always thinking, well, what I'm going to say next. But they need to ask the question like they did on the day of Pentecost. What must we do? What did Peter tell them? "Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now drop down to verse number 47. "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." That's important, because I used to be a member of the Presbyterian Church. I was a member of the Baptist Church. I've been a member of just about all of them. And when I was joined or added to the church, I was added by some man. That preacher would have me come up, and they would vote. And, of course, they're going to have me come in because they want my contribution, right? So they're not going to vote me out. They would have me stand up there, and they would say, "Okay, we want Duke. Do we want Duke to be a member of the church?" And, of course, they're going to say yes. But in the Lord's church, the way that you are added to the church is by the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is the one that died for the church. None of us, Dennis, myself, none of us have died for this church. So folks name their church after some particular person. That person didn't die for the church. Jesus shed his blood on the cross, not only for us, but also for the church. And that's important. That is very important, that the Lord adds one to the church, not some man. Amen? Can I get an amen on that? Jesus is the bridegroom, and the church is his bride. And guess what? John was the best man. Turn to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse number 28. John chapter 3, beginning at verse number 28. John says, "Ye yourself bear me witness that I say, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the best friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." John is letting us know that Jesus is the bridegroom, the church is the bride, and John is the best man. Now back to Apollos. We were talking about the changed man. When Aquila and Priscilla pulled Apollos off to the side and actually taught him more perfectly, I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 18 and look at what Paul says. Acts chapter 18, and we're going to look at verses 27 and 28. Now, Apollos has already been taught more perfectly, right? Verse number 27 says, "And when he was disposed to pass into Arcadia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scripture that Jesus was Christ. Apollos was a good preacher to begin with, but what he was preaching was incorrect. And so by him preaching something that was incorrect, the brethren had to write a letter so that they would know, well, Apollos is a changed man. He's not preaching the same thing that he was preaching before. And not only that, Paul later acknowledged Apollos in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12. Now, if Paul feels like Apollos was preaching something wrong, Paul would never have acknowledged Apollos. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12, the Bible says, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius." Paul is acknowledging that what Apollos is now teaching is scriptural. A lot of folks ask the question about Apollos. When you're discussing or having a conversation with someone, folks always ask, well, was Apollos ever baptized? Was he rebaptized? Well, you know what? I think that's a good and a legitimate question. Remember what I said earlier? The Bible teaches in command, example, and necessary inference. Well, we have an example of what happened to another disciple or other disciples that was teaching the same thing that Apollos was teaching. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse number 1. I've asked Brother Dennis if he would, if he'd read that for me. Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse number 1.
"And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples."
Notice now, he found certain disciples. Apollos was a disciple, so they found other disciples. Read.
"He said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost."
Okay, what were they baptized under? John's baptism, because John did not baptize with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Read.
"And he said unto them, What were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism."
Okay, that's the same baptism that Apollo was preaching. Amen? Read.
"Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized."
Hold it. When they heard this, they were what?
They were baptized.
They were baptized. Then what?
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. You see, once they knew better, they did better. All they knew was John's baptism. They learned better. So what did they do? They got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to do. If it's someone that has been baptized, and I've talked to folks that have been baptized or sprinkled in the Presbyterian or the Baptist church, and they say, well, my baptism is good. Not according to the scripture. We have examples of a man that was preaching John's baptism, which was not valid because Christ had already died on the cross and raised. We're under the Great Commission now, not under the Limited Commission. And I'm going to get to that in just a moment. Apollos was a great preacher, changed. There are many biblical examples, especially in the book of Acts. The Bible has a pattern. And if you follow that pattern, then you're going to have opportunity to go to heaven. I want to look at just a couple of those examples. Turn to Acts chapter 8. There are many, but I'm just going to look at a few because I'm not going to keep you here to midnight. We talked about that, didn't we, Dennis? In Acts chapter 8, and we'll begin at verse number 35, this is another familiar text, and I like this text because it eliminates folks being sprinkled. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse number 35. This is the conversation between Philip and the eunuch. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What does hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believe with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. If they both went down into the water, there's no way that that eunuch could have been sprinkled. It had to be much water. So that eliminates sprinkling. You cannot be sprinkled in a cup of water. They both went down into the water. Then we have Acts chapter 9, verses 17 and 18. Acts chapter 10, verses 46 through 48. Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. And Acts chapter 16, verse 29 through 33. We have a lot of examples of folks being baptized added to the Lord's church. And every last one of them were immersed in water. Every last one of them had to believe what they had heard. They had to repent of their sins. They had to confess Christ to be the Son of God. And they had to be willing to be baptized to have their sins washed away. That's all a pattern that is left for us to follow. If we deviate from that pattern anyway, left or right, we are not doing what the Lord asked us to do. And we all want to go to heaven, right? Amen? All of us want to go to heaven. Baptism is what adds one to the Lord's church. Their sins are washed away, according to Acts 2:38. Then they become a new creature in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. One cannot be taught wrong and baptized right. There's no way. There's no way one can be taught wrong and baptized right. One is baptized, and if they're added to any other church except the Lord's church or except the pattern that we can read about in the Bible, that baptism is not valid. It's just like Apollos was. When he was teaching John's baptism, he had to be taught more perfectly. And you know the thing that I love about this is Apollos was a preacher. Most of the time when you talk to preachers are not going to change. They are not going to change. But Apollos was willing to change. He was willing to admit, well, what I was preaching was not right. He was willing to change, make that change, and continue to preach what thus saith the Lord. Not that he was preaching what thus saith the Lord earlier, but what he was preaching was incorrect. Amen, amen. Thank God. And there are preachers out there now. Some of them, there are some that will change, but most of them, they are not going to change. That baptism that Apollos was teaching was not according to Scripture. You know, we are now under the Great Commission. You remember I told you earlier that John's what's under the limited commission? When we look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus says, and he's talking not only to the apostles, he's talking to us. It's part of our job too. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," notice all nations, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And then we go to Mark 16, 15 and 16. He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." There is no middle ground. You either believe it or you don't believe it. Folks that don't believe are not going to be baptized. It's just a part of who we are. So as we look at Apollos, a changed man, when we understand and realize that something is wrong, we need to make that change. Because you know what? We go through this life one time. We don't get a second chance. This is it. If we don't get it right this time, it's not like in school. Well, you can go and you have a makeup test. No, it doesn't work like that. If you don't get it right this time, there is no second chance. Jesus said to preach the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What we know is, through the pattern, in order to be saved, one must hear the gospel. One must believe the gospel. One must repent of their sins. One must be confessed that Christ is the Son of God. And one must be willing to be baptized to have their sins washed away. Once they have done that, then the Lord adds them to the church. And Revelation 2:10 tells us if we remain faithful until death, guess what? We can see our Lord and Savior in heaven. Amen? And that's what we're all here for. The lesson is yours. I hope something has been said to make us think or make us want to even study some of the scripture that I've given you. The lesson is yours. We're going to give you this opportunity to confess your faults, or if you have some prayer that you need, have someone you need prayed for, and we're going to continue to pray for your wife too, Dennis. Whatever your needs are, we're going to give you this opportunity as we stand and sing our song of encouragement.